All right. Get ready for a deep dive into a real-life legal case. And it's both spooky and thought-provoking. This all happened back on Halloween night in 1981. And it raises some really interesting questions about how the law views our Halloween traditions.
What's so interesting about this case is how it forces us to confront the balance between personal responsibility and expectations surrounding cultural events.
Yeah, exactly. So let's set the scene. Picture a Louisiana neighborhood on Halloween night.
Okay.
Three teenage boys are out trick-or-treating. One of them is dressed in military fatigues and is carrying a plastic toy submachine gun. They ring the doorbell of a homeowner named Robert Booten. Now, just put yourself in Booten's shoes for a second. It's dark out, you're expecting trick-or-treaters, but then you see a figure that looks, well, kind of menacing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's important to acknowledge that Booten's reaction was extreme. He slams the door, grabs his .357 Magnum, and reopens it. He sees a flash supposedly from a camera and fires, tragically killing the boy holding the toy gun.
A truly horrifying turn of events. And the legal battle that follows is just as complex. Booten is acquitted of murder, but faces legal fees and damage to his reputation. So he takes a pretty unconventional route and sues the boys' insurance companies, claiming their actions were legally wrongful, or what we call tortious.
This is where the legal intricacies become really interesting. The lawsuit hinges on two key legal concepts: intentional torts, like assault, and negligence.
Okay, let's dive into those concepts. First up, assault. Booten argued that the boy's costumes and behavior led him to fear for his safety, prompting him to fire his weapon. But the question is, did the court see it that way?
Well, not exactly. The court ultimately rejected this argument, stating that on Halloween, people should anticipate seeing costumes and characters that might otherwise appear threatening.
So even though Booten genuinely felt scared, the court essentially said, hey, it's Halloween, expect some spooky surprises.
Right. The court's decision really underscores the significance of societal norms in legal cases. Halloween in particular comes with its own set of unique expectations.
It's almost as if there's an unspoken agreement on Halloween night, a sort of collective understanding that appearances can be deceiving.
Precisely. And this case dives headfirst into that unspoken agreement. It prompts us to ask, just how far does this leniency extend, especially when tragedy strikes?
That's a great question. And speaking of legal nuances, what about the negligence claim? Did the court believe the boys had any responsibility to avoid scaring Booten to the extent he might react so drastically?
This is where the case gets even more compelling. The court once again sided with the boys, emphasizing that their actions dressing up and going trick-or-treating were entirely consistent with societal expectations for Halloween. They weren't exceeding the bounds of what's considered acceptable behavior on this particular night.
It seems like the court placed significant weight on this idea of what a reasonable person would expect on Halloween. Could you elaborate on that a bit more?
Absolutely. The court employed a legal principle known as ease of association to assess the situation. Essentially, they concluded that it wasn't reasonable to foresee that the boys' actions engaging in typical trick-or-treating behavior would provoke such an extreme reaction from Booten.
So the court basically said, Halloween is inherently a time for costumes and spooky fun, and people should be prepared for that. It wasn't just about common sense. The ruling delved into some pretty impactful legal principles.
You hit the nail on the head. There are some powerful quotes from the case that truly encapsulate the court's rationale. For instance, the court stated, "Any reasonable person expects to see an endless array of ghouls, beasts, and characters on this evening." They went on to say, "On any other evening, presenting a frightening or threatening visage might be a violation of a general duty not to scare others. But on Halloween, at trick-or-treat time, that duty is modified."
Wow, those quotes really emphasize the point that Halloween operates under its own unique set of rules, even in the eyes of the law.
Exactly. Now, it's crucial to understand that this case isn't advocating for terrorizing people on Halloween. It's about acknowledging how our legal system often considers societal context when making judgments.
So we have this intriguing intersection between individual actions, societal expectations, and legal interpretations. It makes you wonder, what are the broader implications of this case? What questions does it raise for us as individuals navigating a society where these lines can get blurry?
That's a fantastic point. This case delves into some deep waters, challenging us to consider how we balance individual rights with the unwritten rules of cultural events. It compels us to ask, where do we draw the line between acceptable Halloween fun and behavior that crosses the boundaries of what's considered reasonable?
And how do we, as individuals, grapple with those gray areas, especially when fear and surprise can cloud our judgment?
That's a question we'll explore further as we unpack the nuances of this case and its lasting implications. It's almost as if the law acknowledges that on Halloween, we collectively step into a realm where the usual rules are temporarily suspended. It's a night where we embrace the unusual, the eerie, and the unexpected.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to put it. It's like we all agree to participate in this grand spooky charade, but this case also pushes us to consider the boundaries of personal responsibility. Bhutan's reaction, while understandable to some degree, was undeniably extreme, even for Halloween.
Absolutely. While the court ultimately ruled in favor of the boys, it's crucial to note that this case doesn't condone reckless or dangerous behavior on Halloween. There's a clear distinction between wearing a spooky costume and intentionally attempting to instill fear or panic in others.
Right. Context and intent are paramount. And this case really highlights the importance of considering both when navigating the complexities of this holiday.
What's fascinating is how the legal system attempts to strike a balance between safeguarding individual rights and preserving societal expectations. On one hand, individuals have a right to feel safe and secure in their homes. But on the other, society has an interest in upholding traditions like Halloween, even if they inherently involve a certain level of risk.
So it's not just about what's legally right or wrong, but also about what's socially acceptable within a given context. And those lines can become incredibly blurry, especially when you factor in the emotional responses triggered by events like Halloween.
Precisely. This case really forces us to confront the reality that fear, surprise, and deeply ingrained cultural traditions can significantly influence our perceptions and judgments.
It's a reminder that the human element can't be ignored even within the seemingly objective realm of the law. So we've established that societal norms and expectations play a pivotal role in this case, but let's delve deeper into the legal reasoning. The court repeatedly emphasized that Bhutan's reaction wasn't considered reasonable. Why was that such a crucial aspect of their decision?
The court's focus on reasonableness stems from the fundamental principles of tort law. In essence, tort law seeks to determine whether an individual's actions fall below a certain standard of care that society deems acceptable. This standard is often based on what a hypothetical, reasonable person would do in a similar situation.
So in this case, the court was essentially asking, would a reasonable person, knowing it's Halloween night, expect to encounter costumed figures and react with such extreme force?
Exactly. And the court determined that Bhutan's reaction deviated significantly from what a reasonable person would do under those circumstances.
This case has been a whirlwind of legal concepts and societal considerations. I feel like we're uncovering so much about the legal system, cultural expectations, and even the psychology of fear.
It's fascinating, isn't it? This seemingly straightforward Halloween incident opens up a Pandora's box of complex questions. And before we wrap up this portion of our deep dive, I'm curious to hear your initial reflections. What aspects of this case have stood out to you the most?
I think what strikes me most is the inherent tension between individual responsibility and the collective acceptance of certain risks during cultural events. On one hand, we want to protect individuals from harm. On the other, we recognize that traditions like Halloween inherently involve a degree of playful mischief and unpredictable encounters.
That's a very astute observation, and it leads us to the crucial question of how we reconcile these competing interests. How do we balance the desire for safety with the preservation of cherished traditions that often blur the lines of what's considered normal behavior?
That's a question that extends far beyond the realm of Halloween, wouldn't you say? I mean, think about all the cultural events and celebrations that involve costumes, masks, and playful deception, Mardi Gras, carnival, even certain sporting events.
You're absolutely right. This case has broader implications for how we approach the legal and social dynamics of any event where societal expectations deviate from the everyday norm. And it's a conversation that deserves careful consideration.
Yeah, it's a fascinating dilemma and one that I imagine a lot of listeners are pondering right now. This case really underscores the importance of perspective taking. It makes us step outside our individual viewpoints and consider the broader societal context. You know?
Absolutely. And it highlights the need for some open and honest conversations about how we navigate those gray areas where individual actions and cultural norms kind of bump up against each other.
We've talked about the legal ramifications, but let's shift gears for a moment and consider the human impact. This incident obviously had some lasting consequences for everyone. What are your thoughts on that?
It's a heart-wrenching aspect of the story, and we shouldn't overlook it. While the legal battle was about, you know, liability and expectations, it's important to remember the toll this event took on everyone, the families of the boys, the community, even Robert Bhutan himself.
You're right. It's easy to get caught up in the legal stuff and forget about the human cost. This case really reminds us that actions have consequences that go way beyond the courtroom.
It really does, and it underscores the importance of empathy and understanding. It's important to uphold legal principles and societal expectations, but it's equally important to approach these situations with compassion and remember the human frailties, you know, the ones that can lead to tragic outcomes.
Very well said. This deep dive has been a journey through legal precedents, societal norms, and the complexities of human behavior. We've explored the balance between individual rights and collective responsibility, and we looked at the lasting impact of that one night.
Yeah, it's a testament to the power of storytelling, wouldn't you say? Like how a Halloween incident turns into a deep exploration of law, culture, and the human condition.
It really is. It's like a reminder that even the most familiar traditions can have these unforeseen complexities. And it challenges us to look at these traditions with more awareness, responsibility, and empathy.
Yeah. Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. As we head towards the next spooky season, let this case be a reminder to think. How can we make sure that Halloween stays a celebration of creativity and community and fun while also respecting safety and individual well-being?
That's a really great point. So, to our listeners, as you get ready for costumes and candy, remember the story of Robert Bouton and those trick-or-treaters. Mm-hmm. Let it remind us that context is important, that we need open dialogue, and that empathy matters in creating a society where we can celebrate traditions safely and responsibly.
And maybe most importantly, let's try to approach each other, even the ones in spooky costumes, with a little more understanding and a lot more kindness. Happy Halloween, everyone.